You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Welcome to the world of the orphans. I know you've all been freshly awakened, but I have my own things to deal with, as we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original audio drama experience. Episode 1, available May 23rd, exclusively at oneofus.net.
Thing that I don't think was honestly in anywhere in this movie were nice guys.
No. Someone.
Yeah.
The guy from American Horror Story.
Yeah. What? No.
He was so nice.
I don't think he was
such a
really.
Kind person.
Matt Bomer? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Not really the nicest guy. And I thought, Russell Crowe. He likes little kids. He's nice. And he keeps killing people.
Yeah.
Well, you see, in the 70s, everybody was so fucked up and stoned that, you know, you could really literally introduce yourself to somebody by just giving him a good right cross.
You mean like Ryan Gosling? Like, pretty much spends the whole movie like in a compressed version of my 90s.
Oh, really? So, yeah. There's a lot of cheap scotch in this movie.
Yeah.
I'd say there's a lot of dumb guys in this film.
There is a lot of dumb guys. But also in the 70s, people were stupider.
Yeah,
yes, they were.
Apparently.
And oranger.
But that doesn't make them charming.
No, not at all.
This is definitely Shane Black's homage, even more so than Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was to pulp noir. Kiss Kiss and Bang Bang was definitely more sort of like, I'm really just playing in this world. I'm not completely sold
inside
of it.
It reminded me a little bit at times of The Long Goodbye, which is a Raymond Chandler novel directed by Robert Altman. So it's very convoluted and dense, and then there are these sporadic episodes of like, what the fuck was that?
This reminded me of those old photos that my grandfather used to show me of the 70s, that ancient time. He was like, look, my child. When everything was orange.
When people smoked everywhere.
Yes.
And drank everywhere.
People smoked in hospitals, 13, elementary schools.
13-year-olds could go into parties thrown by porn filmmakers and nobody even blinked an eye.
Polaroid pictures actually looked like that. It wasn't just a filter that you use on Instagram.
That's true. The world looked that way.
I don't know. This kind of reminded me of kind of a poorly done Looney Tunes cartoon.
Poorly done?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You're going to be that guy.
I think you're going to be, yet again, the person we disagree with.
Okay. Well, because Elliot isn't here. Somebody's
That's true. Somebody's
going
to do it.
Well, the plot here, 1970s L.A., Ryan Gosling plays a really terrible private eye.
He's good. He's the best.
He says it. Nothing in this movie indicates
Ryan
it.
Says.
That's what Courtney said. And I was like, what movie did you see? Anyway, he's a mess because his wife died not that long ago. Their house burned down. They're living in a rental. His 13-year-old daughter is very, like, sometimes angry at him, but usually just kind of the one keeping him from drowning in the toilet when he passes out in the bathroom type of person.
The worst part is they have to live in a rental.
That is the worst part. I can tell you from experience. And then you got this other guy, not a hitman, but an enforcer.
No, he's
a beat-em-up guy.
Yeah.
It's Russell Crowe during the weekends.
Yeah, it probably is.
It's just Russell Crowe. It's a documentary.
And the two of them, basically...
Actually, the way he looked at it in this show is more like Russell Crowe's.
Yeah, true.
Aww.
Without trying to explain this labyrinthine and complex plot, as it turns out being, they both end up finding out that the things they're working on are indeed one and the same thing after the opposite of a meet cute with each other.
what they really need is each other.
Meet cute my fists.
Yeah, you see it in the trailer among all the other jokes.
Okay, calm down. For the record, this was like a joke a minute film. Yeah. You're like, what are you talking about?
It was the type of film that thought it was thinks it's funnier than it actually is.
Whoa.
Strong words.
I guess I just thought I was laughing then.
Nothing is more subjective than humor, mind you.
That's true.
Yeah. I know 2.5 Men was on the air for like 10 plus years. So
that's right.
Well, clearly somebody did. Clearly it was on the air for 2.5 years or something. I don't know.
There are lots of people out there that don't like money.
For 2.5 Men. I would have watched that show.
Yeah.
It's about the porn industry in L.A. which partially this movie was about, too, because the crime that they're seeking out seems to also tie into a popular porn star who we see die in admittedly a pretty humorous way.
And named after a place from The Hobbit.
Or Led Misty Zeppelin. Mountains, that's true. Yeah, and a lot of people hopped that's on right. her, too, so Led Zeppelin song.
Wow.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's your joke. Take
the
it.
70s.
It's funny because sex involves hopping.
It's not actually funny. It's okay. I've made my peace with that.
Herman didn't laugh.
I probably didn't, yeah.
Chris, subjective boy Herman didn't laugh at it.
Chris, well, I don't know about you, but I didn't laugh once.
Sound, I chuckled quite a few times.
They end up,
it's not Wild Strawberries, let's be honest.
They're both looking for a young girl who somehow seems to be tied into the death of this porn star that maybe isn't even dead, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and Ryan Gosling's daughter keeps on showing up when she's not wanted.
She's awesome.
And she ends up being sort of like the one. Maybe actually, like, they never would
and
have
she's very much,
this without
she,
her.
She's like, you know, that meme that's been going around for a while that's just like, oh, you kids have it easy. In the 70s, it's a miracle any of us got out. And that's basically what she is. Like, at every moment that she's in this movie, you're like, what are you doing here?
She's, like, playing in an abandoned lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
where you're doing.
See, but you understand, in the 70s, we all played in a band.
That's true, we did.
And sometimes at midnight when our parents were drunk and passed out, or having a swinger party. You know, that was not uncommon. Now, it wasn't because of the economy, it's because everyone's like, they'll be fine. Nobody was
going. We'll make some more if we have to.
What if someone looks at them and it ruins their lives? Yeah, we know. One thing didn't even realize, I can't believe I didn't, but looking at Wikipedia page for this, there's a scene where there's a hallucination sequence where there's a giant talking bee.
Who was voiced by Hannibal fucking Buress,
man.
Awesome.
He was like the only guy to voice a giant talking bee.
I feel like there was a scene in the party where Scarlett Johansson was there.
There were a lot of Scarlett Johansson.
Did I hallucinate that?
I think you
would. Yeah, I don't know. There was a...
But Earth, Wind, and Fire was definitely there, baby.
See, that...
And they're all alive.
Was that just a digitally fixed up image of the Earth, Wind, and Fire video? Because it looks just like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, I think they just got some people and dressed them up in a lot of gold lamé and maybe did a little CGI, but yeah.
Because this thing is not just in the 70s, it's just drenched in the 70s, and not in that sort of sense of like, oh look, remember that? That was from the 70s, but like there's not a frame of this film that's not like, oh yeah, this is definitely Hollywood in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, including, yeah, going to a porn star party and Earth, Wind, and Fire is the band playing it.
Of course.
Yeah, which used to happen all the time to me. I was like, great, fucking Earth, Wind, Fire again? Hey guys, maybe you'll get good when you let water play with you. Sorry.
Which one of you is the Avatar?
Well, I understand their reference now. Now we're getting to my generation.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, oh, Avatar, that was hysterical.
Yeah, that was a great series.
I laughed at that.
They had the flying yak. Yes, they did.
Well, anyway, I've been babbling. I mean, like, I personally thought this was a lot of fun. I think it was perhaps tried a little too hard to go down the road of, like, Jim Thompson-esque super dark noir to mix with the comedy that was there. And I think that's why, ultimately, coming out talking with Courtney, I was like, I really liked it a lot, but I did not like it as much as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which you have to compare it to, because it's hitting a lot of the same story
absolutely
beats
it's absolutely a buddy movie. You know, it's about, you know, it's a bromance. It's a hardcore, you know, heavy fisted Scotch soaked bromance.
I mean, the whole party sequence is basically the same scene in both movies.
I haven't seen Kiss Kiss.
I think that
Kiss,
you already done.
Okay, we're gonna make Kiss, we're gonna make you watch that.
Big Bang Bang.
Two kisses.
Two kisses. Two bangs. That's what.
That is the question.
That's all I get. I thought it was really fun. I think it got a little too sappy, especially towards the end. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved Ryan Gosling's daughter Holly in this. She was great. But I felt like it was trying too hard to be like, hey, Russell Crowe's character is a nice guy, and Ryan Gosling has always been a nice guy. It's like, it didn't really need that. It should have done one thing or the other. It should have been, like, totally cartoony, violent, over the top, hilarious, which I love, or done the sappy thing, which would have been shitty. Not both. Herman?
Tell her why.
And now it is Herman with the weather.
No, I agree. To me, I just one thing. The humor just didn't work for me for whatever reason. It felt
you're
like
so
a,
young.
It is. It, clearly, it is. It's not part of my generation. You know, all these references. I'm like, I don't
you
know
didn't
what that
get the
is.
Abbott and Costello.
Oh no, it's clearly Abbott Costello because that's the type of humor that's throughout that film. It's like, okay, so Ryan Gosling, like, I get, like, oh, I thought he was really funny at first, but after a while, he's so incompetent where it stopped being funny to me and just became so goddamn annoying.
Now, that's funny because that's something that gets on my, and I, you know, this is, as you would be the first to point out, this is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, mm-hmm. but yeah, he loses his gun, and that's normally, that's one of the things that, like, drives me fucking crazy in a movie, mm-hmm. but I thought they did a good job of balancing out the fact that, you know, he's a drunken mess with giving him occasional wins. And, you know, granted, yeah. sometimes they took those away from yeah. him, but, you know, by and large, I like it. And, you know, I think there is something to be said about the Warner Brothers cartoon comparison. I mean, there's one joke in here that's straight out of, you know, he's pretty much Wile E. fucking Coyote.
That's what I was thinking. He's Wile E. Coyote the entire time.
Absolutely. And I don't get it the entire time because I don't think he's on a complete losing streak in this. You know, just segueing into my hot take on it. I love this era of American cinema, and I think they do a good job of kind of making a 70s film without getting too much into homage, because there was a lot of opportunities for in-jokes, easy in-jokes, which they did not take, and that's to their credit. On the other hand, I agree with Sarah as well in that, you know, there are some great examples of this kind of movie from the 70s, but because they're made in that era, they're allowed to be a lot darker, and there's no need felt to be like, oh well, we have to show these characters that, and if in the end they're positive and even wholesome in kind of a way, and yeah, there's a little bit of that. It runs a little too long.
Yes.
You feel it after the second act.
Right? I feel
after
like
yeah, it's 4 minutes under 2 hours.
Yeah, and it should have been an hour and 45 minutes. I would have been completely happy with that. That said, I laugh my ass off at this. If you are a Shane Black fan, dude, this is Shane Black. It is Shane Blackest. You will probably dig the hell out of it, especially since he's not.
Was he in Earth, Wind, and Fire?
He was in Earth, Wind, and Fire. It used to be Earth, Wind, and Black Fire. But yeah, he doesn't have the onus of a beloved cartoon or beloved comic book character to deal with in this, so he can just go straight into his wheelhouse. Yeah, I agree. This is not as tight a movie as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang by any stretch of the imagination, but it plays a lot of the same games, and it plays them so well that I'm willing to forgive its flaws. And this is definitely something that I'm going to want to own and watch over and over again.
What's your rating?
I will give it 8.5. Pink cow memo slips out of 10.
And by the way, Sarah, Shane Black is the fifth element love. What's your final thoughts?
Oh, I thought Beau was just ranting.
Yes.
He can do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I did like this movie a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. This is one of those, like, movies that I think my dad would really like. It's like, hey, I could take my dad to this movie. It's a dad movie.
Look at you, Bo.
My dad liked Bo and Chris. Our Bo is old. Our old.
Dyson.
My dad are old. But you know what? I got a lot of the jokes, not to, like, say I'm, you know, that familiar with the 70s, but I got a lot of what was going on, and I didn't think it was too much of, like, look, it's the 70s, and, like, every song playing is Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Do you remember that song?
I mean, they only did that once. And I'm not the biggest Ryan Gosling fan. I think he's all right.
I don't really get the whole Ryan Gosling obsession thing.
He's got a doofy face.
He does. He has goofy face.
He does have a doofy face.
He looks like the slow kid who's always in detention in school.
Oh, that man could walk in this room and have any of us like that.
Not me.
Probably not me. I mean, I would for the story. Just to be like, guess who I fucked.
Yeah, but see, it's always like, you know, if somebody's, you know, known for being good-looking on film, film makes you so ugly. And so when you see an actual star, like, I think Sandra Bullock, a wonderfully attractive woman, I met her in person, and it's just like, oh my God, an angel has lit among us. How did this happen?
So, Herman, you're going to take one for the podcast if Gosling shows up, right?
I'm a Chris Evans guy. So,
That's right.
It's not going to happen. Come on, the boss.
We all want to hug.
But anyway, go on with your...
Is Ryan Gosling's father named Ryan Goose?
No.
No?
That's not, okay. That's not the goose.
Anyway, I've been waiting years to use that joke.
Jesus.
Where was I?
I thought you were talking about Belgian ale. I'm sorry.
Where was I?
You if got the 70s reference.
If you're not a fan of Ryan Gosling, you will love this movie because he gets the shit beaten out of him
a lot.
Constantly. But you know what? I thought he did such a good job with the comedic timing, with the physicality of the role, because he's drunk half the time and falling over and getting punched and tripping and hitting things. It was very slapstick in a really good way. And the same could be said with Russell Crowe, but not, you know, falling over as much. He did a really good job. He is a good comedic actor. He recently hosted SNL, like, a couple weeks ago or something. And he was so funny. Like, I always watch SNL, just not, like, out of habit.
Was he that big still? Like, in this movie, he's put on a lot of weight.
Nah, he didn't have as much of a gun.
Because he was like
pregnant.
He's like, yeah. He's 40s he's like, Marlon Brando. I mean,
yeah.
Was he wearing, I'm guessing he probably wore like a fat suit to
could
increase
be.
The, I mean,
he might have.
But he's always battled with his weight.
Yeah,
sure, but he looked
he's not
really unhealthy.
Anymore.
Yeah. It's like, if you just decide, he ate Joaquin Phoenix. No, if you just sit around on the couch for a while, order a couple of pizzas, and then drink beer for a few months, you're good.
But we all know you're talking about me.
That's the best kind of training.
Anyway, like, the first act especially, I think, was really funny, but then it started to sag, and I was getting a little tired of some of the jokes. It picked up again towards the end, and I thought that the little girl, or the young lady who played Holly, did a really good job. She had kind of a Chloe Moretz look about her. Not quite as sharp, but she still did a really good job, and I would like to see a sequel with her. So I am going to the nice girl.
Aww.
And it sounds like a movie about rape.
With Zoe Deschanel in it.
I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 boyfriends who got burnt in a house fire. It'll make sense.
These are the pathways through Sarah's mind.
Herman.
Yeah, so I'm probably, like, the youngest person in this room, so I didn't really get all
the Jesus
of
Christ, dude!
I'm joking.
Chris Herman's make friends and influence people.
At first, you know, I was thinking, I don't know. One of my big problems with any film, if you introduce like an extremely incompetent character and they don't eventually evolve or become more competent towards the end of the film, then it's like, then why should I care about this character's entire arc throughout the movie? And I don't really. I just find it really annoying and just kind of honestly boring. I really did like Russell Crowe. To me, he seemed like a realistic person in this film, unlike so many other people. I mean, this is just like hyper... I don't know what it is, but everyone's, like, personality was, like, set to 11, where you had these very violent things happening in the movie, and then you had this really kind of comedic beat right after, and it just felt awkward to me. Like, even the opening scene where someone dies, and they kind of set up a joke, and there are people kind of giggling in the theater, and to me it felt really uncomfortable. Like, how I would relate it to is, oh, God, that... From Dust, was it From Dust Till Dawn? Is that with Quentin Tarantino and George Clooney?
Yes, yeah. It's an awful movie.
There's a scene in it. I saw it years ago in like a theater. It was like a special screening, and I remember the one scene when I'm gonna spoil this movie. When
I already did. It's a really horrible movie.
When Quentin Tarantino kills this woman and her corpse is on the bed, I remember being in the audience, like everyone started laughing, like it was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
And it felt really awkward and weird. And I got that same sense here. It's like, okay, clearly this is meant for a very specific audience. I'm not, you know, I don't want to judge anyone, but to me, it made me feel really uncomfortable. I just kind of had that attitude throughout the rest of the film.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think that scene, I was like, fuck, is this going to be the whole movie?
Right.
It's...
And there are definitely two occasions where I'm just like, okay, you're dangerously skirting the line of women in refrigerators here.
Yeah. But I feel like the Holly character made up for it.
Yeah.
And also even Amelia, like, she lands on a fucking car. Like, not to spoil too much, but... She's pretty badass. She's crazy, but she's pretty badass. And I think that whole, like, opening scene, you can kind of forget it. And this is coming from me, you guys, the crazy feminist on the podcast.
The beginning didn't really bother me because it's...
I knew
Shane Black, and I'm like, he's making a really dark comedy like he does.
Yeah.
That's kind of his thing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was not...
It was kind of brutal, but...
It was brutal, but it was certainly not atonal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just didn't feel that way. It just
that's because you're more human than I am.
No, I don't think that's it.
No, I can prove it.
No.
Chris, you bleed, like, green or something?
I'm not going to get more specific on Mike. But when they find y'all's bodies tomorrow morning, they'll know the answer.
just go over it again. With Ryan Gosling's character, it just, I don't know, he was just so goddamn annoying. And where, okay, you can be incompetent. Like, I don't know. It's like, to me, I kind of would compare him to Archer, where Archer is an idiot. He's an idiot, but he's also...
But he's competent.
But he's competent. True. That's the thing. And where Ryan Gosling...
Yeah, but that character isn't like that.
I was going to say...
I know, but I'm just saying, like, had they played him like that, I know it's like, oh, what
but
if they made
the
movie like this?
Less realistic than what they did, where he's a complete drunk and he fucks up everything he touches. I thought he was really realistic. It's just unrealistic he's still alive even when the movie starts.
Yeah, it's the thing. Again, he's Looney Tunes. He's Wile E. Coyote.
But I knew guys like that. Yeah. They came in my bar all the time. You're like,
how are you still alive? Yeah, that's your problem. You need to bartend for 5 or 6 years.
No, you don't. Take our word. Okay.
I'll definitely do that. I guess for now, I give it 6 out of 10 crappy velvet suits.
Yeah, fair enough. Like I said, I really did enjoy this. I just also felt like it wasn't quite there yet. You know, like, I felt like maybe it had been gone over too many times. Like, I often say, the script could have used another pass. I feel like maybe this had too many passes on it. Everything felt a little too overthought out, perhaps, at points.
Yeah.
To the point where that often is the case with comedies when they run too long. Comedies in general, an hour and a half is a perfect time for a comedy.
Yeah.
Longer than an hour and a half, you better have solid fucking goals.
I agree.
And at 2 hours... You are indeed pushing it. And this is more comedy than it's not. It's definitely, like, has some super dark moments in it and some really brutally violent moments. But it's definitely trying to push comedy to the front, and I feel like this is going to be more appealing to people who already have a deep background in the type of noir they're pulling from, which is, like I said, very Jim Thompson-esque, very brutal type noir. It's certainly not to everyone's taste. Neither is Jim Thompson's noir. But I did enjoy it. I just think ultimately it was a little flawed. And I also think, I don't think Ryan Gosling was like unrealistic. I just thought there was a point they should give him a few more wins than they
did. Yeah, exactly.
Because they kept turning it to where his daughter was the one who would fix things. And he just would fuck up so much. I was like, this guy's got to have a redeeming quality besides he loves his daughter. You know, and I felt like ultimately in the movie it gave him one tiny thing and that was about it.
He solves the thing.
Yes.
Really.
He catches things and chases them. But, and he wins fights occasionally.
He stumbles into his success. And we're just expected to go, oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're just jealous.
You're not Ryan Gosling.
I don't know. I just survive and, you know.
Yeah, that's a running joke in the movie. He constantly is falling off stuff. Which I actually thought was pretty funny myself. But
I like it.
Anyway, I did really enjoy this. It's not as strong as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is a perfect 10 of a movie if there ever was one. But it's definitely really worth seeing for anybody who's a big Shane Black fan. I give it 8 out of 10 times. I went, stop punching Keith David. He is a national treasure.
I was just about to bring that up. I'm seeing him listed in the credits. He's listed as an old guy.
What?
Doesn't even have a name. He's an old guy.
It does say an old guy. Well, he's never given a name in the thing. They're like, fuck it, it's Keith David. Everybody knows.
Yeah, but he's respected. He's in the thing, and he was in that other movie, The Sun.
I have sad news for you. Keith David is not middle-aged.
Well, that is true.